Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
The worst heartache that most of us can imagine is the death of a child. It can turn out, though, that if we're loving and forgiving through even the worst thing that can happen, we can receive some remarkable gifts. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes. Our guest today is my very dear friend, Carol Morgan. Her older son, Mikey, died in an accident at the age of 20. He was killed. Nobody else even had a scratch. Only after his death did Mikey remember that he is a sixth level being, and that's the level that's just below the source. He's an extremely advanced being, and he chose to come back for a brief Earth lifetime too, so he could reaccustom himself to what it's like to be on Earth and talk to us directly, so he and his mother, Carol, could teach through the veil. Now, Carol swears she never would have signed up for this, but she is nonetheless joyfully helping her son to do his work. Welcome, Carol. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you, Roberta. It's very nice to be on your show.
Carol and I go back several years when I met her, obviously not accidentally. It was something that Mikey engineered, but I met her at a conference, and she was a newly bereaved mother, and she wanted me to see that she could communicate with Mikey by pendulum. Now, I'm very straight-laced. I didn't believe in pendulums for a minute. And it was really, really only when I saw it happen and I saw him actually giving messages to grieving mothers, I heard the kinds of things he was saying that I thought, wait a minute, maybe there's something going on here. And the rest for us has been history. Carol is exactly what she claims to be. She knows nothing about this. Sorry, Carol. She doesn't know anything about this stuff. But her wonderful son knows everything, and he has taught me some remarkable things as well. So, Carol, tell us how this happened. Tell us very briefly about the accident. What happened to Mikey?
Mikey was killed in a Jeep rollover accident in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in the beginning of his junior year of college in 2007. It was September. He was killed instantly. There were a few minor injuries but really Mikey was killed instantly. From there, you know, we live in Minnesota, so we were notified the following morning because that occurred in the evening. We were alerted very early in the morning, and that's kind of how things started with us. Is it was a very emotional, traumatic time.
Oh, sure it was, I'm sure. Wow.
And we, you know, but things started to happen almost immediately. We were noticing things as we were trying to gather our emotions and contact loved ones, and people were coming over, and things started to happen very quickly in our home that we questioned, this is a little more profound. I could feel like there was just something going on, and I truly believed it was Mikey. And it started rather quickly with what we would call signs as communication, and he was starting his work pretty quick on trying to get our attention. It was very obvious to us, and it gave us such great hope even early on, despite our profound, gut-wrenching grief.
Now, it was a friend of his who was driving.
And it was.
And you really bore him no ill will. You didn't blame him for this.
No, we did not. We absolutely blamed nobody. In fact, we really reached out to his friends, trying to help those kids the best we could, because we truly held no blame. We really felt it was an accident. Actually, though, now I know it was part of a plan. He needed to leave.
Yes.
But we held no blame, no anger in that regard. None of us, my husband and I, or Mikey's younger brother, Joey. And that, I know, is key with what followed with us. We didn't have that kind of a negative emotion that was that would really pull you down even worse into the pits.
I think that's a very important thing to emphasize. It's easy for us to blame others when things happen, especially if it involves the death of a child. I have seen evidence that every death of a child was a pre-planned event. There apparently are no exceptions. Every child who comes and dies young is an advanced being who didn't need to be here his or her whole life, but came often just as a gift to the family. They went through the trouble of being born and having some lifetime on earth in order to help us grow spiritually. Now, I know that's hard to swallow when it's your child, but that's what the evidence tells us. And so to follow Carol's example is a way to make sure you clear away all the negative, nasty energies that can get between you and your child. Because once you clear them away, communication can be wonderful. The stories that Carol tells about the way he messed with the weather. Tell that story about the weather.
Well, there was a week between the accident and the funeral because we were in Minnesota and his body was in Colorado. They told us to stay here. They said, there's nothing you can do. We have to prepare the body and fly him back. So there was this period of time and people were coming and going. And there was one day, it was a beautiful fall day. And a lot of his friends from Colorado were coming in. I actually think it was a Thursday because the visitation was on Friday, the funeral on Saturday. They came into the house and this rain shower. Now they'll talk about rainbows after people pass.
Yes.
It was a beautiful day, and this rain, this cloud literally comes out of nowhere, and it just, the wind starts blowing and whipping, and it starts raining just a little bit, and the next thing you know, my nephew comes running into the house, and he's like, look outside, hurry everybody, come quick, run. So there was probably 30 people in the house. We all run out the front door, and there is a perfect double rainbow.
Wow.
Just outside our door. It was unbelievable. I've never actually to this day have seen one where it was literally brilliant, both rainbows end to end. And then as we stood there, three geese just flew down really low over our heads and right through the center of the whole thing. And I'm telling you what, it was...
Wow.
It was really something. And everybody, they were just like, that was Mikey.
Yeah.
That was Mikey. I know that was Mikey. And it was really it gave such hope at a time when everybody was just so devastated. It was really one of the most profound signs. And actually, since then, my younger son, he had an amazing sign out in Colorado with a rainbow as well and a clear blue sky. So they have ability with combined effort. That's for sure.
And this is one where it even made the news. We didn't expect any rain, but in this local spot, there was rain.
Yeah.
And Mikey told us afterwards that was all his doing. And they did the little bit of rain just so they could make that rainbow, that double rainbow for you. Isn't that wonderful?
And that was a combined effort. He said, you know, there was some other souls, other lovable beings with him that, you know, they worked together to get things done for us, to help us.
It's
a team thing. We're all part of it. And it's amazing how things are orchestrated with numerous individuals, I believe, in the afterlife when they're needed.
That's one of the things we've learned, that when an effort is needed, it's very seldom just our loved one, but there are teams who will come together and gladly help. Mikey is now doing that with a lot of people who have passed later than he. It's one of the things he does he's sort of become an expert on signs, and he gives signs. One of the reasons that I know so much about this is that Mikey has decided to write his autobiography, and he is doing that. So I've gotten to read it in early an early manuscript. We'll talk more about later about some of the things he says, but he has confirmed that the things that Carol and her family were spotting around the time of his death were from him. He was desperately trying to help them. No, he was fine. They just couldn't see him, but he was right there with him, with them. And I think that's very exciting. Don't you? Weren't you heartened even then, even before you knew for sure and you had heard from him directly? Wasn't it a great relief to see all these things he did?
It was huge, and it gave me such hope. I still always say that signs, truly, if people would just open up a little bit to that type of communication, yes, it gives such hope and peace. It helps you tremendously. It helps lift that negative, heavy grief emotion, which actually makes it better for them and easier for them to actually communicate with us.
Yes, grief is one of the worst of the negative emotions. And if you're in deep grief, your loved ones cannot penetrate that, they no matter what they do. So it's a gift that you can give to those you love, to learn for yourself that they're fine and to try to lessen your grief. You don't get over it. I'm not telling you to get over it, but I'm just saying try to balance it with the joy that they are alive and happy and the hope you'll see them again. Because if you can do what Carol's family did and lighten that grief a bit, there's all kinds of, he was giving them songs. He was giving them all kinds of things. And even people who were not local to the family, he was appearing to. And just a wonderful young man. I've come to know him, and I just I'm sure in life he must have been wonderful because he's terrific now. My goodness, sweet and joyful and happy and loving. Wonderful, wonderful young man. Okay, let's talk about how you learned how to communicate with him, Carol. Tell us what, because pendulum is an ancient method of communication. Many people think of a pendulum as just signaling yes or no. They think of it as a very limited tool, but you've used it and you've learned to use it to communicate in all kinds of sentences and to awaken your own psychic gifts so that you can communicate telepathically. How did you get started with that?
I was picked for a retreat. There was the Dying to Live Again Foundation, who at the time, this was in 2009, was founded and run by a spiritual medium by the name of Sally Baldwin. She has since passed in spirit, so I think, boy, my window was small in meeting her. But she was doing this retreat, recruiting for moms from all over the United States through Compassionate Friends, and she was going to pick 7 to 10 moms on this all-expenses-paid retreat to learn about communication, and it was based on signs and dreams that we had, etc. Well, I ended up getting picked, so I went on this retreat, and when I got there, you know, she went through how the retreat was going to be run and everything, but when she had me for a private reading, she told me I was brought there by my son and by God, and the fact that I held no anger or blame to anyone, that I didn't have those heavy grief emotions in that regard, she said she says, I know you have the ability to communicate with Mikey, and I'm going to show you how by means of a pendulum. And I looked at her like she was absolutely out of her mind.
Right, right.
So she worked with us moms, and I mean, it worked. I mean, so Mikey's deal was this, is there were times where I thought I heard his voice. But then I thought, you know, that's wishful thinking. Right, I'm a bereaved mother. I'm grieving. I'm just thinking I'm hearing his voice. So his thing was he wanted me to find out that we could communicate. And he thought if I could see what he was saying, I would believe it. And he was right, because the pendulum moves. I use a little letter disc number board that Sally gave me, and the pendulum moves direct, would spell letters, words perfectly and sentences perfectly, and I'm not moving my hand. I mean, it was absolutely crazy to me. The whole thing was crazy.
What a miracle. Let's describe this just briefly for you so where we can see it happening. It's a little disc. It's only like, what, 8 inches across?
Not even that, probably six.
6 inches, yeah. And it's got letters around the outside and also numbers around the outside, so that they're one ring and then an inner ring. And she, Carol just holds her pendulum above the middle of it and holds her hand really, really still. But it's her energy, her love and her energy combined with his energy that makes this work. The pendulum starts to move, and she's not moving it, and it moves toward letters, and then she says the letter, you know, A, and then there it can go. Is it counterclockwise or clockwise? That's
it's
yes.
Clockwise. It's clockwise for yes, counterclockwise for no, and then of course he swings it wildly when he's laughing. But yeah. it's very precise. I mean, it's to me when to watch it is really crazy. I still don't believe it yet, but you know, here I am years later now. But it's very precise. He draws the pendulum up to the letter, and will circle it, and then he goes to the next one. You know, I mean, it's just. But he'll circle his yes is clockwise, his no is counterclockwise, but he'll move that pendulum any direction I ask. And, you know, I used to do that for kicks with the newspaper or a coupon or something. And that's actually how I practiced, was telling him to move the pendulum in different ways. And he did. So it was magical. I always, always ask for God's protection. And I do a kind of a spiritual ritual before I start, just for protection. Though Mikey, when I do work with him, I mean, I can literally feel him, you know, over my shoulder. He's over my back. So.
But there was one time when you sort of didn't ask for protection, right? What happened
then?
That's
correct. There's one time, only one time. And during that time, I can remember I wasn't in a good state of mind. I was emotional about things. And I picked up that pendulum. I did not ask for God's protection. And I did not call for Mikey. And I picked up another energy. Another entity, and it was a negative message. I got a negative message about my elderly father at the time. It was very upsetting to me. I screamed, telling it to get out. This isn't my Mikey. And the pendulum came to a complete stop, and then it started going wildly. And then it was Mikey, of course.
Yes.
And he said, "Mom, you must always call for me. You must call for me. You must, you know, do your ritual and then identify." So I do that every time I pick that pendulum up. I go through my spiritual ritual. I always ask God for loving protection. And Mikey always identifies himself. And so that's a very important thing when working with the pendulum, because the spiritual world is big.
It's big, and there are some negative entities in it. They're not powerful negative entities, as best we can determine. There is no organized devil. There's no powerful entity that's negatively opposed to God. But there are a lot of sort of crummy people who were crummy in life, who chose not to leave, and they're hanging around now. And if you are doing automatic writing or working with a pendulum or a Ouija board and you haven't called for protection, they sort of, one of them described it as you're like a beacon of light. They come right into you and they try to take over. So, but you can, as you see with Carol's description, you can easily protect yourself by calling for whichever one of your loved ones you are communicating with. And the loved one is a force for good, of course, not evil, and will take over. That's one of the blessings we have, the fact that negative energies, evil energies, are so much weaker than our loving and strong good energies. So you started to do this, and you got better and better at it, and then you started to hear his voice clearly, right? You're communicating now by mind?
That's correct. So I started out where I literally had him spell every single word. Then from there, he would give me the first word in a long sentence. He'd give me the first word. I would say the word, and he would confirm yes or no with his, you know, clockwise or counterclockwise movement of the pendulum. Then he would go to the next word. So we started first one full word at a time. Then we went for the first letter of each word in a sentence at a time. Then we went where I could hear him tell me a whole sentence, and then I would confirm, is this accurate, yes or no? And now I can hear him quite a bit, but I always use the pendulum still, because I validate for sure what I'm hearing. And, you know, I can even get like a paragraph and I'll say, you know, and he'll tweak things even with his book. So he'll say, Mom, go back to this. You know, you need to change this to make it correct. So he listens to me. I mean, I can hear him. I absolutely can hear him. I also used to practice in his truck. I still drive his piece of junk truck, and that's a whole other story. But I will ask him a question. I will listen for the answer. And then when I get home, I confirm it by pendulum. And that's actually how we first started to practice telepathic communication.
I think yours is an amazing story. I think the fact that you are such a loving person obviously makes a huge difference. But this also is what he says you planned before you were born, right?
That's correct. I still some days don't believe this, but well, anyway, that's what I was told. That's correct.
Because it's important that people understand why this would be important. Mikey is a very advanced being. Most sixth level beings who have ever communicated, and there haven't been many, have sounded stilted, not human when they communicated, even though they were loving beings, but they forgot because they had been away from it for so long. A lot of our higher advancement, higher spiritual advancement happens in the what we think of as the afterlife levels, which is our real home. And it's been a while since they've been on Earth. They forgot what it is to be human. So Mikey, very wisely, when he decided that he's a teacher at heart, he loves teaching people about what's true. But when he decided he wanted to really do what he could to teach and serve humanity, he knew he had to be reminded of what it was like. He had to have the experience of being on Earth for a while. Not long, because he needed to have the rest of Carol's lifetime in which to teach through her. So it was cleverly planned, Carol, much as you maybe forgot that you planned it, but it was a cleverly planned way. And I know of no other very upper level being who ever has done what Mikey has done and come back and lived a regular kid life in order just to be able to communicate with the regular kids. Beautiful.
You know, he did it in a way that was accepting to his age group. You know, he was this DJ and he was very popular at Colorado State University at Washington's. He got the big night. He got the Thursday night, which was college night, as the DJ. He was so thrilled about that. And, you know, he had to play songs, you know, that were appropriate for that age group and whatever. But he was so huge in pushing, you know, the song Love Generation by Bob Sinclair. And what a message. And in fact, this weekend we were at a wedding. One of his friends got married and they played Love Generation. And the place was just going wild with this song because it was about Mikey, of course.
Yeah.
And his friends, there was friends that came up to me and said, you know, Mikey was such a loving guy. He was such a great loving guy. And, you know, he really is. He's just amazing. And he did it in a way that would reach out to his age group.
Yes.
And get their attention.
It
was very effective.
Yes. Just to remind everyone, this is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My own nonfiction books are The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next, and The Fun of Staying in Touch. The Fun of Staying in Touch is about communicating with our loved ones and about the signs they give us. So if you're curious about signs, you know, you might check out that book. You can learn more about all my books, plus read my blog at robertagrimes.com. And our guest today is my beautiful friend, Carol Morgan, and also her wonderful son, Mikey. I think of Mikey as my dear friend, even though I never knew him in life, but what a beautiful, beautiful soul he is. He's so full now of life and joy, and you can meet both Carol and Mikey at the Life in the Afterlife Conference, September 25th to 27th of 2015 in Scottsdale, Arizona. Carol even is going to be doing a workshop there to help you learn to communicate with your own dead loved ones, just as she does with Mikey. One of the things that we've discovered, I think, you and I, Carol, is that pendulum communication can be a good way for people who aren't used to the fact that we all have psychic abilities, for them to begin to communicate with their loved ones. Carol did a workshop at the conference we did in July of 2014, and I talked to some women who had taken that and for the first time went to their rooms with their little discs and their pendulums and communicated with their children. One of them said, her son said, "I've been waiting for you to come up with a way to communicate with me." Now, what a beautiful thing that is that you're doing, helping mothers to do that. If you're interested in the conference, go to ASCSI.org for more information. And if you're interested, it's a good time to sign up pretty quickly because we're almost out of rooms. We're going to have to start putting people in a different nearby hotel. Now, we're talking about how Mikey communicates, and we're going to go on to talk about his book and some of the things he says. But I think it's important to understand that this is a person who is a very powerful being. I have spent my life, and I'm in my 60s, studying what the dead tell us about the afterlife. Very few people know as much as I know about it, just because, you know, everybody needs a hobby. This has been mine, and it's been an obsessive one. So when I first met Carol, I was pretty skeptical. That first, I began to accept that, yes, she's communicating with her son, this kid, Mikey, no question in my mind about that. You can't see it happen and not and hear what he says and not begin to believe in it if you are at all open-minded. I still didn't believe he could be what he claimed to be, which was at a level where people don't incarnate normally. They just don't need to. They're at very, very advanced level. So I didn't believe it. Carol joined Afterlife Forums, which I moderate, and she began, a thread was started, which has, I think, thousands of posts at this point, you know, ask Carol and Mikey. So I've seen Mikey answer hundreds and hundreds of questions about the afterlife and about little details about the afterlife. And I've read every one of his answers, first with a lot of skepticism and then with more and more, you know, sort of wow to it. He has never, ever said anything that I thought was even a shade wrong. But he'll often say things that I know to be true. Okay, great. And then he'll go a little bit farther. So I'll say, oh, there's a wrinkle that I didn't realize, but that makes sense. It's consistent. And I've come to the place where if Mikey says something, I've come to believe that it's true. For example, one of the things we're unsure about is whether we know there are a lot of alien beings on this planet now. It's one of the things I don't like to think about, but they're here and they're trying to save us from ourselves. But where did they come from? Well, Mikey says pretty confidently that they come from other dimensions. They're not in this material dimension. That's not their home, but they come here to help us. So, okay, I believe that now. If someone else told me that, I might be more skeptical. But this, I cannot begin to tell you what an astonishing discovery it is that we have someone who lives in the afterlife, who has recently lived on Earth, and who is at a level so high that he can tell us things that my mom and dad never could tell us because they're lower level, or your mom and dad. This is a very precious gift that Mikey is, and I'm just thrilled that we're beginning to share what he has and what he can give with the world, Carol. Don't you feel that way?
I do. I still can't believe it. I remember very early on when he said, "Mom, I just thought you'd like to know that I'm on the sixth plane or whatever." And I'm like, "Well, what does that mean?"
Yeah, right.
I had no idea what he was talking about, and I just rolled it off. And the only reason was someone asked the question on the forum about, you know, they talk about seven planes of heaven or the afterlife. Yes. And someone said, "Well, where does Mikey say that he is? What plane or whatever?" And so he said, "Well, I'm on plane six, Mom. You can tell him I'm on plane six." And I'm like, "Well, okay, whatever that means." You know, I have had no idea. I was raised fairly strict Catholic. And so a lot of the concepts that he would talk to me about was so over my head. And I just said, yeah, sure.
Right.
So what was helpful for me was when other experts would confirm that, yes, you know, this is consistent with what was said, you know, by a deep trance medium from years ago, or this is consistent with all these other things that has been found through research and everything through mediumship. And so it was helpful to me. And now, of course, I really truly avoid reading anything because I just want to keep it purely. I don't want to have any influence from the outside.
Yes.
So I just keep doing my thing. I mean, it's way over my head, but I keep doing my thing and so that it's purely what Mikey is telling me.
Now, one of the things he talks about is that the levels, the mid-levels where most people are, he often spends time there. And some things that might surprise people are how he spends his time. One of the things he does is he still snowboards, right?
That is correct. He snowboards in the middle dimensions of the afterlife. And so this is the thing. You know, Mikey is, you know, he's still a kid. Now, he talks to me like a 20-year-old still. And I think part of that, his thing is he's trying to keep this real and human to me and to his family and friends, which I do think is very important. And so he always says, you know, that so in these planes of the afterlife or heaven, there's just multiple, just infinite dimensions and everything. And so he says, you know, he says, I get together with other souls or spiritual beings that like to snowboard, and together we snowboard. And he always tells me, he says, whatever dimension you are in, that what you are experiencing will be feel very real and solid to you, just like here on Earth. So he says the mountains look like, you know, they're more beautiful, but they're solid. You know, he says my snowboard is solid. I mean, he's wearing his same old Oakley goggles, you know. You just laugh about it. It seems almost magical, or it just doesn't even seem like it could be real. But he says, I'm telling you, Mom, it is real. It is real.
And he wears regular clothes, except when he is on the teaching level, on the sixth level. There he wears his spirit robes. It's one of the things that we learned early on is that the dead very often will wear what we think of as angel robes, long tunic that gets belted and has long sleeves. But one of the things I've learned from him is that the recently dead are more interested in the lower levels in just wearing regular clothes. In fact, they wear period clothes. Tell us about the 50s land and the 60s land and all these places that they've set up that where they can relive what it was like to be on Earth.
That's correct. So, and part of this, I think, too, Mikey tells me, is for a person who has recently passed to adjust.
Yes.
Because there is confusion, obviously, when you're on Earth and we leave our body. So death of the body occurs. We, of course, are still very much alive.
Right.
We transition back to the afterlife. And Mikey talks about that there's dimensions or areas where they are basically kind of celebrating an era of time. So whether it's the 60s or the 70s or the 30s.
Right.
And these individuals will be dressed like that time. They'll be doing activities of that time. So he says there truly is this type of a thing where you can experience this. And he says, again, when you are in these places, it's just as real and solid as when you are here. So, I mean, it just sounds like a great place. You know?
It does. It really does. But that's another thing I had not been aware of. One of the things that handicaps I have is that because I haven't trusted anything more recent than 1950, everything I've read, most of it came before 1940. And you get the sense that like any other sort of cultural thing, the afterlife is cultural, and it seems to have very much sort of evolved since the early part of the 20th century in very happy ways. The difference there is that it's all governed by love. Love is the very air you breathe. Love is the very light that's around you. That's all there is love. So it's all good. It's not bad that they're inventing all this stuff to do. It's kind of exciting and fun. And it gives Mikey kind of a focus for his autobiography. I can't remember how this got started, but he made it clear to Carol that he wanted to kind of write a book. And I said, I'm happy to help. I believe in what he's doing. Let me know how I can help. So lo and behold, he started to dictate this book. Tell us how that happened, Carol.
You know, we've talked about a book for a while, but
yes.
Part of it is I needed help. Obviously, I'm a horrible book writer. It takes me forever to even write a chapter. So it with your help, actually, Roberta, was like the catalyst to get me going, because you're assertive. You have made me stay on my game. And Mikey likes that because, you know, he wants this out, of course. He thinks the message is very important. He wants it to really reach, you know, his age group, younger and older. It's got a little more of a young twist to it, the cover and everything, but that's what he wants. He wants youth to know about the importance of love, that's really what it's all about.
Right.
And that, you know, basically we just need to be loving and kind to each other and not judgmental and that type of thing. And so he's just continuing on with the message that he was, you know, kind of working on when he was here as a DJ, even with the music and the songs he liked to play. So he's on a mission.
So tell us about the cover is arresting. The cover looks like a video game. It's a sort of dark, but with bright in it. And it's a guy
snowboarder.
We're seeing him from below. He's like leaping or something. It's very dramatic cover.
He's a snowboarder. And actually the sunset in the picture is a picture that Mikey's brother Joey had taken, who he felt the beautiful sunset at the time was, you know, he always, you know, a little gift from Mikey, and Joey has had some just profound signs anyway. So he snapped a picture of that, and a friend of mine's son helped design the cover, and he put a snowboarder in the sunset, and the snow is kind of breaking, and the title of it is Flying High in Spirit, a young snowboarder's account of his ride through heaven.
Yeah.
So Mikey's using all snowboarding terms and that whole thing.
Yeah, obviously he's a guy with a great hobby. He even brags in the book about how good he's getting at snowboarding, which I think is hysterical. He's working on his skills even there.
Yes, so, he's very thrilled to be to show everybody when we get there, apparently. And he always says he's better than Shaun White.
Oh,
and Shaun White's the big snowboard, you know, Olympian. And Mikey just thought he was the coolest guy ever when he was on Earth, the snowboarder. And even that, and Shaun White even had the auburn hair that Mikey had. So it was pretty funny, actually. But he he's having a good time. I know that.
He's having a wonderful time. And he goes from snowboarding to the sixth level, which I didn't know was physical, but apparently there are beautiful universities there, which are solid, and he dons his spirit robes, which you do by mind, of course. You don't need to change your clothes. He thinks his spirit robes on, and he goes to class with his mentors and instructors, who are even higher in the sixth level than he. So he has a well-rounded life, wouldn't you say?
He does have a well-rounded life. And you know, what I want to just mention quickly, Roberta, and I think people can agree with this. You think of heaven or the afterlife as see-through or wispy, or you're floating around on clouds or whatever. But, you know, Mikey always said to me, you know, even in the Bible, you know, when they talk about in my house, there's many rooms.
Yes.
You know, he says it is solid. There's buildings there. There's homes there. They're, you know, they use different vehicles to get around. They can move by thought. I mean, Mikey can move in an instant, or he can walk somewhere, or he can literally fly somewhere in a little airplane, or people drive around in little vehicle, he's even talked about that some people even have like little spaceship vehicles. But the point is that it really is solid, whatever dimension you are experiencing.
And that's another thing I wasn't aware of. There was a hint in the first part of the 20th century that people could use vehicles, but the range, the variety of vehicles that Mikey talks about was another of the many revelations he's given to me. It's all consistent, but it's all fun. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what Mikey says it's like there, but I think in the middle of talking about how wonderful it is, we should just mention that suicide is never a good idea. This is a happy thing to look forward to, but everybody who's listening now is meant to be in a body now in learning. And the better you learn to love and forgive now, the more beautiful will be the level to which you can aspire when you end up in the afterlife levels. And, Mikey planned to leave at 20, and he says now that he wouldn't have changed it. He knows it needed to happen, but he still regrets having, not having the rest of his life with his family that he adores, which is why he hangs around them so much and gives them signs and little hugs. So suicide's never a good plan. If you're feeling suicidal, you need to get help. And if you don't know who can help you, send me an email, rgrimes@robertagrimes.com, and I'll find you help. Because it's worth looking forward to, but it's nothing that we can aspire to unless we're ready and we've reached our time to leave. Sorry, Carol, I just had to say that because
it seem
so wonderful. It's only wonderful if it is your time to get there, and it will for all of us be that time very soon. So what else have you learned from him that surprises you, Carol?
One thing after we transition, since you're bringing up suicide, this is one thing that's interesting to me is, I was taught as a Catholic that we are judged by God and condemned, to hell yes. If we're not perfect and blah, blah, blah. Well, that is not the case. When we transition, we meet with our higher guides and we actually review our life. Mikey describes it. It's literally like a movie that you see your life and how you, especially what's critical during that review is how you interacted with others. How loving are you? How kind are you? Helpful to others, forgiving? Were you judgmental? Whatever. And it's a time for us to reflect on our actions and with guidance, with always loving guidance. And Mikey always says it's the intent of our actions that is important here. So, for example, we can hurt somebody and we don't even know it, and that was not our intent. That is totally different than intentionally being rude or mean right. Or hurtful to somebody else. Yes. So, yes. That's kind of the thing. And then Mikey also says, if your ego stays with you from the earthly dimensions and you don't see certain actions as negative or hurtful to someone else, that's when the higher guides come in and they work with us to understand why this behavior was hurtful, why, we need to be more positive and loving in this experience that we had. Mikey's thing again is, it's all about love, and the intent of our actions. And during this review, we feel the emotions. He said it can be a very emotional time because we can feel the emotions of the other individual we affected as well as our own. So you'll feel the pain if you did something really horrible to someone and they're just so hurtful. Hurting inside, you will feel what that was like during this review is what they say. And so that's why it's really important to try to always have good intentions. That's really what is so important.
And the fact that you've been hurt is not an excuse for hurting others. One of the things that Mikey talks about rather dramatically is that after we transition, we then rejoin our higher consciousness, which is most of our mind. And then we have all these memories of past lives and we know so much more. I mean, our minds are very limited while we're in bodies by design. But once you merge with your higher self, the things that you think are justification for hurting others or for doing something bad that is going to cause people pain, those justifications are no longer of any value to you. So you can really, really put yourself into a mess if you harm people deliberately, no matter what has been done to you. which what we're meant to do when negative things happen to us is first to forgive the negative thing and then to move beyond it and continue to be the loving people that we're supposed to be. It's like being in a gym. I mean, when you go to a gym, it's to strengthen your physical muscles. When you come to the earth, you're here to strengthen your spiritual muscles. And if you can make those spiritual muscles strong, you can advance by light years, just in one lifetime, just by learning to perfectly love and forgive. And what I love about Mikey's book, which we are working on now, he has written a first draft. I sort of put it together, and now they're Carol and Mikey are tweaking it before I see it again. What I love about his book is he's so clear about all of that. He says it simply and beautifully. It's so important that we learn to love. Whatever the question, love is the answer.
That is right. Anything positive has love as the basis, according to Mikey. Anything negative has low love, not a lot of love to it. So he says, being positive, just in our general way, our actions, just smiling at someone else that you don't know, just being nice is really what it's about.
Yes. But the little things like that turn out to mean a lot.
They do.
One woman who went through a life review told her family, you know, I was prepared for the big things, but I wasn't prepared to face all the little things that I had done, not even really meaning to hurt people, but I was in a bad mood and, you know, she knows she's too fat and all of these little things they had done that were hurtful. And you'd be amazed how you can beat yourself up for having done those things once you get there, whereas here you hardly even noticed that the chance you could have done a kind thing for someone that you knew really needed it, but you know, you'd rather stay home and file your nails or whatever. You're going to beat yourself up over that, and you're going to need a lot of help from your guides to get past the fact that you didn't help. Knowing that, it makes sense to sort of reach out and help as much as you can other people, because it will pay you such dividends in a place which is way much more fun than this. I want to learn how to snowboard. He'll teach me, right, Carol?
Roberto, when you get there, I can promise you he will teach you how to snowboard. In fact, he says he'll teach me too.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll see how this goes.
We're going to start a whole fed. Everybody listening is going to want to learn to snowboard from Mikey.
Yeah.
Exactly. One of the things people ask us sometimes is whether Mikey can find their loved ones. And actually, if someone that you love transitions, have them ask for Mikey from the teaching level. This actually happened once. He actually did find someone, and we got to talk to someone who had recently transitioned. But we've tried it other times, and it hasn't worked. If everything aligns just right, he can find people and tell us what those people are saying now. So this was an especially important one to a number of us because it was a young person who had killed himself, and we got to find out, A, that he wished he hadn't done it, but B, he was doing okay. That comforted us quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So we're coming toward the end of our time, Carol. What do you most want people to know about Mikey and about your experience, which has been amazing one and continues to be an amazing one?
It's an amazing story, really, to me, too. I never dreamt in my wildest dreams that I would be doing this, you know, about 7.5 years after the accident, having this connection with someone who's really pushing the fact that it's just all about being nice and about being loving. And I think even you go back to the golden rule to treat others as you would want to be treated is really the foundation of everything. And that positive ways are loving ways, and that gives us spiritual growth, and we just need to be nice. And you know, you can go places where you can feel negativity. I mean, people, you can literally feel different energies.
Yes.
And Mikey says we are all energy. Everything that exists is energy. Your desk is a dense energy. You know, when we transition, we start resonating at a higher energy frequency, but we are all energy. And we want to maintain a positive way. A positive energy is a higher vibration. It's just so important as far as even connecting with loved ones in the afterlife. That's a huge piece, I think, even for someone who's going for a reading with a medium.
Yes.
To
oh, yes.
go in with a positive attitude and be positive and try to clear yourself of negative emotions, I think you'll even get a better reading because they can reach us better. They can get to us better.
Yes. Our loved ones are naturally at a much higher vibratory rate than we are. So if you are choosing the densest possible vibratory rate, which is anger, grief, pain, all of those negatives, they can't get to you. They tell us it's a barrier. So that's absolutely right. And it would tell us again the name of Mikey's book, which I think will be out by the end of the year.
It's Flying High in Spirit, A Young Snowboarder's Account of His Ride Through Heaven. And, you know, Mikey, he was a big snowboarder when he was here. He actually was a snowboarder instructor in Minnesota at Afton Alps. And then he was a coach for the competitive snowboard team out there for the junior high kids. And he just loves snowboarding. And so, I mean, he's trying to maintain how he was known here, you know, with the music and the snowboarding. I mean, and I think that will be helpful because he's being true to who he was here. So he can connect better here, but he is this, apparently this advanced soul that, I mean, the whole thing is just seems still so amazing to me, but that's obvious to me too. But when he communicates to me, it's very simple. He tries to make it nice and simple so that people here will have a good understanding. He wants to keep it human. So it should actually be a very good book.
It is a very good book. I've enjoyed reading it, and I'm enjoying helping him finalize it so that it will be easy for people to understand. He speaks very simply, which is a terrific thing, which he could not do if he had not had that wonderful. Thank you, Carol, for giving us Mikey, for raising him, and then for letting him go and helping him do what he needs to do in the world. That's a gift that you're giving us, and I appreciate it so much.
Thank you, and thank you for believing in me, because I didn't know what to do with the story when when I met you. I didn't know what to do. So,
well, I'm hard to convince, just so you know. I am hard to convince. I have met many people, and you're the only one. You and Mikey convinced me not only that he's real, but that his story is important. So I'm excited and honored to be able to help him get his story out.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it very much.
This is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next, and The Fun of Staying in Touch, which is about afterlife communication. Just go to robertagrimes.com for more information. And our guest today is my beautiful friend, Carol Morgan, whose son, Mikey, is also my dear friend. I'm going to talk in a few minutes about what we can learn from what Mikey and Carol have had to give to the world. But meanwhile, if you want to learn more about some of the amazing things we've learning about our One Reality, past episodes of Seek Reality are free on iTunes. Just search there for Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, and they're available also through this website, webtalkradio.net. Our guest next week is Suzanne Wilson. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman. She's the first person to convince me in 50 years of looking for it that actually there are good psychic mediums. She is a terrific psychic medium, and she has helped me to connect with my own guides for the first time after more than 60 years. She has some amazing stories to tell, so don't miss this. Now, what do we have to learn from Carol and Mikey? I think it's important for people who have lost a loved one to know that here is it's not the same relationship, but it's an extraordinary relationship that continues just as intensely and vigorously as it did when Mikey was here. Carol has a close relationship through life with someone that we would at one point have thought was dead. His death was the end of nothing. In fact, it was the beginning of a wonderful new life together. Now, think about this. It may well be that your own loved ones would like to have this kind of relationship with you, But they don't know how to reach you because you aren't a believer. You aren't a, you're putting up barriers to those you love. What I ask you to do is just open your mind and open your heart. I think you may be amazed at the richness of the life that's waiting for you when you're back in contact with people you used to think were out of reach. But for now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.